Get me all hooked up here to see if I can get it going. I may be in La La Land there, Lucas. I mean, okay, now, here we go. I'm going all over the place. There we go. All right. Sister Lindsay in London are passing out some handouts. So for the last several months, because we only do it once a month, we've been studying about communication. And in particularly, spiritual communication, because I'm going to review a little bit tonight, because there's only one more lesson that I'm actually going to be teaching on this, and we will get into the very beginning of the last lesson before we end tonight. I'm going to try to stay aware of the time, but I do want to review some of the things that we have learned previously, because it's going to apply to what we learn in the last lesson. And so I put this slide up to begin with. How are we doing? Time to review and evaluate. Don't we all love that? How many have, everybody's been in school here. And how many have even taken some college courses and things like that? And it's time to review and evaluate and take a test. Everybody loves a test. I'm not giving you a test per se. I'm going to get this down here a little bit. But we are going to review some concepts, because the very last part of this series of teaching deals with what we have done with what we've learned previously. So without me talking about the title too much yet, that's why we're going to review a few things, and we're going to see where we're at and how we're doing. So talking about, everybody has a handout, and on the back of your handout there is a sheet of scriptures. So there's some on the front and some on the back. Now some of them are not fully printed out because they were a little bit longer, and it says read more. So you can't click on your paper and read more. just FYI. Don't touch the paper and think it's going to pop up. So you may have to open your Bible and read more about it. But as we review, I want you to kind of quickly read through these scriptures. Look them over, because every so often there's going to be a little icon that pops up on my slides. And when that icon pops up, it's going to be a detective. And this detective is going to be asking, okay, what scripture would apply to what concept we're talking about right now? So the first one to find an appropriate scripture. So just FYI, there can be more than one right answer, because there's several of these scriptures that might relate. But so long as it's appropriate and it fits, the first one to find one on your sheet, stand up. It still will be boys against girls. And so it's just a little different game we're doing this time, instead of just scripture scramble. But since Maddie was here, we should have did scripture scramble, you know, and just because she's a pro. But it's a little different tonight. So you might just casually review those. And while I'm reviewing a few things, just kind of, if you have a pen, you might, you know, highlight certain ones, because there are, I'm not going to use every one of these verses, but there's some key verses that actually will help support what we're teaching. So as you all know, if you've been in any of my teachings, I'm kind of interactive, and I like the congregation to engage me, and I feed off of that. And so it's more of a kind of a, not so much of a lecture as just an interactive teaching mode. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. So this will be your cheat sheet, but everybody is welcome to look at it. And so the fella up here in our slide, he's like, oh man, I can't believe this. Me checking my test results. And so tonight, you might feel like that. You may be like, oh. But we are going to review. And so a few months ago, I think it was 2 months ago, I reviewed shortly, and Sister Shelton helped us with it, with a part of our lesson. And she did, basically we were doing charades to try to get everybody to remember some certain things. So we are going to be reviewing like spot topics from the teachings previous. The reason being is we are laying a foundation, and we're going to see, then we're going to evaluate, are we applying these concepts into our life? I want to know where we're at. Okay, so Let's look on your sheet, and I want to read to begin with Psalms 19:14. That's on your sheet. So this will be our beginning scripture. As I share in our adult class, I said it doesn't really matter. It does not matter at all what my opinion is. It may matter to me. But really, in all essence, as far as what my opinion is no greater than your opinion. Everyone has an opinion in here. My opinion's not any better than anybody else's opinion. So when we start learning about communication and learning how to communicate with one another, we got to understand that concept, that everyone has an opinion and they have a right to it, and we have to learn to respect that. But then there has to be, for us to be able to grow and to be able to walk in righteousness, there has to be an absolute. Because my opinion and your opinion may not be the absolute. Because how many people we got in here? Probably 30 some people. We could have 30 different opinions. You know, we really could on certain topics. And then others we may agree more on, but we have to have an absolute. So let's all agree tonight. Raise your hand. Will we agree that the King James Version Bible is the absolute tonight? Is that the rule book? Okay. We're all in agreement. So, now let's go to Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So that's going to be our key verse tonight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Do those two things go together? Do sometimes we speak without meditation? We commonly say we speak without thinking, you know, but many times we speak without meditation, don't we? So we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. So that being a key verse. Now, is anybody in here ever apprehensive about tests? How many love tests? Like, nobody? Except the little kids who's never had any, you know, and they're like, yeah, we love them. What are they? And so we want more of them. So tests are something that they make us a little nervous. Why do tests make us nervous? Fear of failure. Fear of the unknown. We don't necessarily know what's going to be on it. What else contributes? Those are both right. What contributes to us having that more intense fear about a test? How could we alleviate some of that? Studying. We're unprepared. When we're unprepared, we are more what? Nervous. We're more apprehensive if we're unprepared. And so tonight, that's why we are reviewing some things. Are we prepared or are we unprepared? Where are we at on this communication thing? And some of you are just, you know, Maddie's just dropped in. Boom, here we are. What are we talking about? She's just dropped in on this, and different ones haven't heard the whole thing. So we're going to recap this, but it is vital to, let's talk about the core again. What is it vital to? It's very important. Communication has to be central in what? Marriages, family, jobs, church, ultimately society, how we relate to them, okay? So, no, we're not giving you like a test or nothing like that, but we are going to review some things, okay? Let me get my phone going here again. I get to talking and it locks on me. I actually have this nifty needle thing that I don't know how to use. Boop. Now let me do it. Lukey. It's supposed to be swipe and go. Yeah, I'm having a communication breakdown. I got that up there. Okay. Oops. Too many. Okay, there we go. I know. Some of you know who this is. Some of you don't know. Some of you probably don't want to know. And I'm not condoning everything that this guy does. Not the little kid in the bottom. Does anybody know him? I've seen a lot of those people. But I'm not condoning everything that the top one does. Okay, it's like going off on me. It's like done. But there's some interesting things that Yoda has to say sometimes. Teach you, I will. And here's, this is the way I respond to that kind of thing. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like this dude, yeah, right, teach you, I will. So we're going to work on that. And then every one of us has been at the top. We've been working with our kids. We've been trying to teach somebody else something at work. We've been trying to instruct somebody on something, and we're like, teach you, I will. And they're looking at us like, yeah, what, whatever. You know, so we've been in both modes tonight. And so we can go to the next slide if you're able to. Lukey back there. He's getting my little fancy gadget going here. Okay, so this is a repeat slide. Some of you that's been in class before, you know it's a repeat slide. So there's a hint in this slide, so let's read the slide. You talk, I'll listen. Don't mind me if I eat a few bugs. So it's just, it's kind of like Grant. He listens in Sunday school, but he says, don't mind me if I doodle a little bit. I have found out about that now. You've been busted, and so, but, you know, don't mind me if I eat a few bugs, but hey, I'm listening. So who can tell me, raise your hand, where's the beginning? What's the beginning step of true communication? Listening. When we talk about communicating, the first thought is talking, is it not? The first thought's always talking. Well, communicating, yay, I get to talk. But really, to be effective in communication, the first step is listening. Because really, the goal of communication is not just blabbing. The goal of communication is not just putting your thoughts out there. The goal of communication is not just telling them like it is. That's really not the goal of communication, because we can tell people like it is, but we may not have communicated with them. Or we communicated the wrong thing. So the goal of communication is to convey something to someone to where they understand it. And the only way they can do that, the only way we can do that is if we listen to them. We got to learn them. Okay? So that was the first, and some of the first teaching was listening. First key to effective communication is listening. Giving your full, you got me all going now. Thank you, sir. Your full, undivided, focused attention. How easy is that to do? Depends on what we're listening to, probably. And that's why when you go into Sister Sarah's pre-K and kindergarten and first grade class, she does hers a little bit different than what we do in the upper level. You come into our class and it's like, you know, that's what's going on. They're looking at the screen, we're all quiet, we're down, you know, raise your flag. And but they're older. But you go into Sister Sarah's class, and it's like, come over here. Oh, we've got junk. Well, not junk. We've got all this gooey stuff. And in this table, and it's like growing out of the table. And we have all these different tiny little pieces of things all over the floor, you know. And they're down there doing that, too. And then we got one over in this other corner coloring something, you know. And someone over here is playing with Play-Doh. She's got it all going on. Why does she have to do that? Will she keep their attention if she just stands up there and says, no? And why does she have different things? Because she's learned her students. She's listened to them. She's watched them. She's got to know them. And now she's communicating with them. And are they growing? Yes, they're growing. So our goal is communication. So let's go to the next slide. Let's see if I can do it. You're going to laugh at me. There we go. And you... they should go in order on your paper, too, if I'd done all things well. They were singing that song, and I go throw this in here, and I love that song, Just Hold On. And I love the part about it says, I'm not a hero. A lot of people say, well, man, you don't have much aspiration. You don't want to be a hero. Well, the bottom line is people who don't know they're heroes are usually the heroes. And the ones that are like, I'm the hero, they're not the hero. So, you know, so I'm like, well, I don't think I'm the hero. So I'm just holding on. But let's look at this next slide. One of the most sincere forms of respect is actually listening to what another has to say. Today we had church dinner. Did anybody communicate with anybody today? Okay. Yeah, we're like, no, we ate. I communicated with my fork. And so, okay, give me an example. Somebody talked to somebody today after lunch. Give me an example of what you learned about somebody today. Did anybody learn anything about somebody today? Sarah. Okay, Sister Janie had a good... how did you find that out? Okay, she told you. But if you had not of what, you wouldn't have listened. She told her, but she listened. Okay, somebody else learned something else from somebody? April? Oh, pastor can't eat that much chocolate. Everybody knows now. And so it's like that came down straight from the urologist. And so easy on the chocolate. So we learned something. And so today we have some quality communication. And so when you have that quality communication, what do? We grow closer. How many likes to have communication with somebody? Maddie, you're up here. You're telling me about your job at the post office. And Maddie's, and she's talked to me about the post office job. She's confided in me about some things. And I could have been doing this. Maddie's talking about the post office again. How many times is she going to tell me this story? You know. And or, you know, I could just be, or I could be standing there going. And she's like, she's looking at me, but I know she's really not listening. Let's cover some more things. So respect is actually, or listening is actually a very high form of respect. If you never listen to anybody, you are only respecting who? Yourself. It's all about self. Quality communication is equal parts what you say, how you say it, and how you listen. Husbands, equality communication is equal parts what you say, how you say it, and how you listen. Wives, same thing. Children, same thing. It applies to everybody in this room. Nobody is exempt. Single person, it applies to you, wherever you're at, okay? Practice love and gentleness in all three. Okay, let's hit on this, and we're going to the next slide. How you say it, what does that mean? How we say something. Our tone. Does tone affect us? Tone affects us. What's another way to non-verbally communicate something that affects another person? Okay. Body language. We talked about that. We talked about several different ones. I'm not going through every one of them, but body language speaks to people. You look at some of the pictures up there. It's not super clear. This one's clearer than that one. So you look at the guy at the front there, angry. You know, he looks kind of like, I don't know, at least a little like bewildered. But you can see surprise, disgust, fear. They're a little bit overdoing it. But sometimes you know people, you can tell. Contempt, boredom, look in the line there. There's like the 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth guy, the black guy there, he's like not into it. We've seen that a time or two. Look at the guy on the end. He's not only not into it, what is he doing? He's way off. He's like, see ya, checked out, and not interested. So body language is a form of communication. How are we doing? So I'm reviewing these concepts because we've taught about this a few months ago. Are we applying anything? Where are we at? Are we respecting each other? Let's start on ground level. Wives and husbands, children and parents, siblings, and then church folks. Are we respecting one another, listening to one another? How's our body language? How's our tone? Tone is a big one because tone sometimes can just set things on fire. Tone can really elevate things, and we've talked about that. And so your face and your body sends messages, and it says, it can say, I care, or it can absolutely say, I care less. Can it not? So we have to be careful about that. So let's look at the next slide. Okay, so in some of that same teaching, we were talking about the different forms, and I just grabbed a few because we're not going to run through the whole thing because I'm laying a foundation for a reason. So the browbeater, I just like that picture. We're like, are we browbeating with the way we communicate? Most of the time, women are not browbeaters. I'm not saying women cannot be browbeaters. It's not a sexist thing. They can be a browbeater. But sometimes men are more likely to be a browbeater because men are born leaders. And sometimes the dominance thing takes over, and it can happen that way. But women can do the same thing. So browbeating somebody, give me an example. What does it mean to be browbeated? Has anybody been browbeated ever in your life? Probably everybody in this room at some point or another. Is it interesting to learn that if you have been, and I'm not like into this like big psychology thing or anything like this, but I am interested in like cause and effect. If if you were browbeated a lot when you were a little kid and you don't get that under the blood, you have a tendency to do that to someone else because that's what you were taught. It's ingrained in you. That type of thing has to get prayed through, has to get under the blood. It's not, oh, it's just the way I am. And pastors preach that so many times to us. Well, it's just the way I am. Well, that's not the way we're supposed to be. And so we got to bring that under subjection, okay? So let's look at a couple more of those. Sarcasm is the secret language everyone uses when they want to say something mean to your face. And so I'm not talking now, and everybody says, don't get on sarcasm. You know, I love sarcasm. And so there is a place of sarcasm that truly is harmless, but sarcasm can really cross over quickly. You have to be very in tune with what you're doing to not allow sarcasm to injure somebody. And you use it as a guise. So you pretend. They want to say something mean to their face, but we use sarcasm instead. So we have to be careful about that. Where's sarcasm in our life? Are we bringing that under subjection to the Holy Spirit, letting him lead us? And then the last one there about our great medical team, and we're pulling that together from our Unity teaching as well. And that is why we lift on three. One, two, three. Let's all do it together. One, two. There's always somebody who's like looking off. On what number? Now, what'd you say again? One, two, we drop the body, you know? And so it's very important that we pay attention. It's very important that we pull together in unity. And that was part of what that slide was about. Listening and effective communication is vital for unity. What is unity? Titus. Togetherness, okay? Somebody else, that's very good, togetherness. Somebody else wanted to add something to unity? What is unity? Working together, very good. Any more examples? London? Teamwork, very good. Unity. So we have to listen to one another or we will not be a team. Has anybody ever played sports on a team? Yeah, probably most of us in here at some point or another have played sports on a team. And so you are drilled about this. How important is it that you communicate with your team members? There's always one person on the team, and they're commonly known as a what? A ball hog, I know. A ball hog. What is a ball hog? Well, sometimes they are the best player on the team, but the reason they're the ball hog is because they don't think anybody else can what? Play as good as they can. Could it be true that maybe they don't play as good as the ball hog? Absolutely. But how are they going to learn to play as good as the ball hog if they never get the ball? You got to work as a team. So you might be a ball hog. You may, you know, that's not, you may be good at what you do. But the goal of communication is to make other people good at what they do. You know, it's not like, oh, big me, little you. It's about making other people good at what they do. All right? So working as a team. Unity is vital to marriage, to family, to church. Remember, we built upon those building blocks. I think I skipped one again. Nope, there it is. Okay. We built upon the fact that unity begins where? Where does everything begin as far as, not in the spiritual realm, as far as in the natural realm, where does everything begin when we start building up? Where does it start? At home. Home is the first church. And if you don't have a good church at home, how can we expect to have really good church at church? Well, you know, it's a little bit different because we're all together here. True. But we are all should be having church at home. Then we bring our good church from home to the big church. And then we have great church. See what I'm saying? We build upon that. Okay, let's look, and that red didn't show up very good, and I meant to change that, but I forgot, obviously. Six tips when your conversation with anybody is going south. And so when you get this idea that I'm not communicating this right, you get the idea this is not going good, okay? So you're in the middle of this situation, things are not going good, your conversation is not working out. What do we need to do? Well, we're just going to drill it on through, and they need to listen to me. And everything would be all right if they would just do what I told them. Guess what? You will have this same round again, many times over. So we've got to stop. If we realize it's not working, we've got to stop. It's not very smart to continue to do the same thing over and over, the same mistake over and over again, and get the same result. If you're getting the same result every time and it's not the right result, what do we need to change? We got to change the variables. What are we doing here, okay? So let's look at it. And quickly, own your own mistakes. Slow down. When you slow down, it means you start focusing in on them. Focus on unity, not my point. Not winning the argument, but winning the person. Be patient. And then most of all, as a born-again Christian, you have to let the Holy Spirit lead you. If we are very fervent and we're wrapped up in something fervently, and we are like getting tense and angry about it, it's even harder to hear the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not like saying, tell them this and tell them this and tell them that. You know, that's not what he's doing. And make your point. That's not what he's doing. You know what he's doing? He's saying, hey, pull it back here a minute. Listen. Hey, he's really quietly trying to bring us down. But inside we're like, wah, and outside we may be too. We're driven with wanting to get our point across, but the Spirit is trying to lead us differently. So let's look at those verses. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. He's telling goodbye. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. So this was a salutation. And the God of love and peace shall, or live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Live in peace. Live in peace. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to do it. Well, if it works out, if they cross me, then I just can't do it. They don't do it my way. Sorry, deal breaker. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you got to endeavor at it. I have to endeavor at it. Even when it doesn't go our way. Is it always going to go our way? Is it always going to go my way? No, it can't. But guess what? It's not always going to go your way either. You know? it's not going to go our way. Any of us. So we got to learn to get along, and communication is key to this. I'm going somewhere with this. Keep paying attention. I should have put my other slide up there. You'll see it here in a minute. Build a powerhouse. Who remembers that teaching? How are we doing? Did we just take it home and, wow, man, you know, that's pretty good. I think we already have a powerhouse, you know. And you may have a good foundation started. And you may be building on that foundation. But are you still building on it? Is it more powerful now than it was a month ago when we taught on it? Is it more dynamic now than it was when we taught on it? Is your house, is your home a powerhouse? Let's look at this. Remember, strong marriages, strong families, strong church. These are built by a committed relationship to God and a surrender to strive or to serve others through Spirit-led communication. Are you serving one another in your home? Is your house a powerhouse? Are we just coping with our communication breakdowns? All of us in here are coping with certain levels of communication breakdowns because we're having a hard time dealing with it. Because we know when we deal with it, it may get, It may get intense. It may get emotional. So we just don't deal with it. But that makes us weaker. We need to learn to deal with it. And so we need to learn to focus on it and make things right. How do you build a strong house, Jason? What's the key to building a strong house? Good foundation. If you don't have a good foundation, you're not going to have a good house. So where are we at with building our powerhouse? And I'll tie this in here in just a little bit. Oops, get more. Okay. Show respect to people even when they don't deserve it. Have you, since we taught, it's been a month, have you ran across somebody that really pushed your buttons and you don't think they really deserved your respect? They really like irked you. Everybody's been irked. And so, or we see something and we're like, well, that's just despicable, you know. And with that attitude, we really don't respect them. But let's look and see what this says. Show respect to people even when they don't deserve it. Respect is a reflection of your character. My character, not theirs. So when we don't give them respect, really, that's a downer on us. That's a reflection on our character, not on theirs. Because they, you know, they're just living the life that maybe they don't know any different, or they may know different. But that's neither here nor there. We respect because that is the right thing to do. And that reflects that we have a mature spiritual character when we respect other people. So guarding that within our lives. Let's look at the next one. Okay, here we go. What do we want? Better memory. What do we want? Want what? What do we want? Better memory, young people. It's not just an old folks thing. What do we want? Want what? So we want, that's why we're drilling some of these things. We want to retain these things. Here's a pastor does this, so I get to do it one time. Here's a tell. Our kids said, everybody has a tell. I don't know for sure. I may have many tells. I don't know. I have many tails, but here's a tell. And I'm not saying this to brag. You know, everybody says that, and it kind of sounds like a bragging. I'm not saying this to brag, but I'm bragging. In 8th and 9th grade, junior high, I was valedictorian of my junior high years, and I was like, in every one of my classes, every class that I took, I made solid 100s in every class on every test. And there was a couple things that was driving me to do that, but the only way I did that, outside of my obvious brilliance, not, the way I done it was I studied hard. I went to my room. If I had a test, I went to my room. I'd taken notes in class. I went to my room. I shut the door. Mom and Dad knew what I was doing in there. We didn't have video games, and I didn't have a phone. And so I studied for tests, you know, novel idea. But anyway, I was back there sitting on my bed with a piece of paper and history questions. I'd read the question, say the answer, and I read it over to myself, said the answer. Science, do the same thing. Read the question. It wasn't the questions on the test. I didn't have the test, but you just take notes and you read your study guides and, you know, that kind of thing. And old-fashioned studying. So it takes repetition. It takes applying yourself. No, it doesn't take a genius to do it. It takes effort. It used to be that was kind of the scoring system. And in Missouri, they did that. E was like an A down here. A in Oklahoma, when I came to Oklahoma, moved from Missouri to Oklahoma, A was like top grade. Well, in Missouri for the longest time, E was a top grade. And basically, it wasn't just you gave an effort so you get an E. But that was the top level. I don't know. I can't even remember why they did it just like that. But excellence, yeah, that makes sense. You're brilliant, huh? And so, but what I'm getting at, for us to achieve anything in life, church, for us to achieve greater spiritual growth, we have to apply ourselves, okay? So, stay focused. You must to last at this tournament. It's awesome. I'm like, and I know, like I said, I don't agree with everything that represents, but it is kind of a neat little saying. Because we're in a tournament. Spiritually speaking, we are in a race. We're in the Olympics. We're in spiritual Olympics. You're not like to run. Well, you better get to put your running shoes on. Because if you are saved, you are in a race. Are you going to make it to the end? So stay focused. You must to last at this tournament. So we got to stay focused. 5 steps to building unity. Let's quickly go through this. Communication. You got to let down your defenses. Have you communicated? Have you had to communicate with one another? Did you let down your defenses or was your defense up? Listen with your heart. No hasty conclusions. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't assume you know what the other person's going to tell you. Don't assume you already know what they're going to say. Don't put words in their mouth. Let them communicate and listen to them. Establish a family culture. And so we talked about that in Sunday school today. Sister Lydia told a bunch of secrets about her family culture. Yeah, in Sunday school, you hear all. It's not just the little kids' Sunday school class. Yeah, family culture. Elf and the Grinch. It's family tradition at Christmas time in the Byron home. And so the story is out. And so, but establish a family culture, devotions, prayer, a peaceful home environment. Compassion and compromise. Be compassionate in how you're speaking. Realize you're going to have to compromise. It can't always be our way. Okay, show patience and self-discipline, give and take. Consistency is the key. Sharing responsibilities. I'm going to pat Brother Shelton on the back. He was in there drying the dishes for Sister Cindy this afternoon. It was just like, oh, how sweet. You know, that was really nice. He went in there, grabbed that towel, was drying dishes and, you know, putting them away where he, or, you know, putting them where he thought they went and helping us out. And so, awesome. You know, be consistent. Share responsibilities. Okay? Have fun together. This is really important. Have fun together. Do something fun together. Sometimes we get really, it's like Pastor said, we get busy. We're busy in ministry. We're busy taking care of our jobs. We're busy taking care of whatever. Kids, animals, everything in life. We've got to take time. We have to take time to have fun together. Work and have fun together. So this Friday night, we're going to have fun together because we're trying to build unity in the church. Okay, let's keep going. We talked about the voice, and we're coming almost to the end of the review, and then I'm going to, it won't be much longer. The voice. Who remembers when we taught about your voice? Do you remember what the voice was? Do you remember what we were talking about? So let's read this again, and then I'm going to ask for some comments. I should have had some little guys show up on my... My little guys didn't show up. I must have them saved. Oh, wait. Okay, I'll come back to it. Our voice from the beginning of time was to glorify our Creator. Our voice means your purpose, your destiny, why you're here. To bring forth fruit. Each of us have an eternal point, an intention, a direction, and a reason for living. The inscribed talents, everybody in here. Tristan has inscribed talents in his DNA. And Annabelle is his sister. She may have similar inscribed talents, but not exactly the same, because she's not him and he's not her. And so everyone in here has inscribed talents. We have special abilities embroidered in our DNA. We were masterly positioned to become a voice. We are a unique individual, and we have a purpose. And we have a voice. We have a destiny. Part of the destiny in this life is to get to where God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do, we're going to have to communicate. And if we cannot communicate effectively, we will really handicap our potential. That's why I'm teaching on this. We can thwart it, even completely thwart it. We can stop it. So that's why we're drilling down on this. And so my voice is his voice through unique design. This was the plan from the very beginning. So, to begin with, you had your own voice. When you were born again, we talked about it in Sunday school, and you accepted Christ into your life, you obtained a new voice, a destiny, God's plan for your life. Okay, what voice is speaking loudest in your life? Since we talked last, what voice is talking loudest in your life? Job? Job is a big voice. Responsibilities, bills, family stress, day-to-day just duties, just making ends meet, children, and everything has its place, and we don't ditch anything. So how do we juggle it all? How do we find and keep our voice, the purpose, the destiny, what we're supposed to be doing for God? How do we keep our focus? How do we keep this? We keep our focus the way that I told you I studied for those tests. And the way Pastor even addressed it this morning, it was brought out. It's through repetition. It's through studying. It's through preparation. It's through intentional living and choices that we do that. Other than that, it will not happen. The loudest voice in our life will become our self will if we're not careful. Self will become the loudest voice. It won't even be the devil. He doesn't have to be the loudest voice, because if he can get us just to be self-willed, he's already got us. He doesn't have to waste his time like, oh, come down and holler in your ear and make you like me. No. If he can just make you like your old man, you're like him. And so his voice is screaming at you as well. So we got the screaming match going on within us, so to speak. All the cares of life. We have the devil screaming. All our desires, good or bad, those things are screaming at us. Pleasures, just fleshly desires, all these things are screaming at us. So how do we juggle all of this? We have to learn to hone in on one voice and one voice supremely. It's the quiet one. It's the still small one. And so it really takes focus, because if everything's screaming, to hear a whisper. Go ahead, give me something. He does not compete. Yep, good. Absolutely, very good. He does not compete. He has no rival. He does not compete. He will not bow down to that. He is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. And so it's up to us to silence the other voices, to hear the still small voice. And once we hear the still small voice, then he starts directing us. And he tells us what things to pick up and what things to lay down. Because our lives do get too busy. They do. Anybody been overwhelmed besides me? Yeah. Sister Bethany just had a new little baby. She's got three small ones. Life gets overwhelming at times. And so jobs, demands, stresses, things like that. And not all of it's bad stuff. Sometimes it's just our own wants. You know, they're not wrong wants. But if they are, they're taking over and taking our time, then we have to adjust that. We have to learn to listen to the small voice to find our destiny, so we'll know what to pick up and what to lay down. Okay, let's look at the next one. This was good, and I wanted to throw this in. God, I want your truth to be the loudest voice in my life. Correct me, comfort me, come closer still, and I will trust God. You are good at being God. It's like Lindsay said, he won't compete. If anybody could get in the race, show us how it's done, be God. He's not going to compete with those type of things. And the bottom line is, he actually did get in the race. And he did show us how it was done. And he's already done it once, and he don't need to do it again. He's not going to do it like that again. He's coming back as God Almighty, the warrior, Christ. And so he is King of Kings. So now let's look at this. So our next teaching next month is going to lead into this. And I'm not going to cover the whole thing tonight. And I actually had a little, I don't know why I didn't show up. I don't know. I thought I saved it. I must not have saved it. I was going to have you guys look up some scriptures on here. My little guy didn't show up on my slides. But anyway, we'll do that next time. Communication consequences. So this will be the fifth teaching on this, and then I'm moving on to another topic. Lord's already given me a different topic, but communication consequences. What are consequences? Somebody tell me. Give me a definition of a consequence. A result of your actions. There's always a consequence in this world. There's always going to be a cause and effect. We talked about in Sunday school, we talked about reaping and sowing, and sometimes we make jokes about, and I joke with them about it, you know, the karma, you know, I don't believe in karma, and that's why I joke about it. And it's like, but I said, the biblical side of that is reaping and sowing. And so, and the other side of that is cause and effect. And communication can definitely cause and affect things for the good and for the not so good. It's powerful. And we've studied some of the scriptures, and there's a bunch of them in here. And I'm, like I said, I was going to try to go through some of these. But the scripture tells us that the tongue, like, is set on fire on course of what? Of hell. The tongue, and not just, you know, our physical tongue, but what proceeds, you know, what we say, where does it come from? Sometimes we look around, we're like, well, I don't think there was even any thought was given to it. I don't think there was any thought given to that. But really, where does our communication come from? Our heart. Because the Bible says that out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so how we speak to people matters. How we treat each other matters. How we convey things matter. So communication consequences, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat. And I don't know why it's not showing the whole thing on there. I really got a problem here. But anyway, eat the fruit thereof. And so death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So when it says death and life, you can speak death to something, and you can speak life to something. And so are you speaking death to your marriage? Are you speaking life? Are you speaking death to your relationship with your children? Or are you speaking life? Are you speaking death to relationship with coworkers? Or are you speaking life? Thinking about where we're at. What about in church? How are we speaking to one another? Are we speaking life to one another? Or are we speaking death? I'm like, yeah. We've got to think about these things because that's how we grow in unity. That's how we overcome. Yeah. I'm missing a different slide, dude. Something about this didn't go right. But anyway, there was another slide. I put a definition in about cause and effect, causality, basically. If you poke your finger with a needle, unless there's really something wrong with your nerves, or you've lost feeling because of diabetes or something like that. But if you have normal nerve connection in your body and you poke your finger, what's your response normally? You give it a good poke. You're going to jerk back. There's going to be an effect, is there not? There's going to be a reaction. There's going to be something caused by it. And I had the slide up here of the gentleman. He's sitting there with all the probably dominoes, and you just push one domino. That's all I want to do is knock one over. It doesn't work like that, does it? I just wanted to say that. I just needed to say that, and I needed to say it that way. Did we need to say it that way? Sometimes we do need to say certain things, but how do we say it? It's very important. There's so much church in the scriptures about the tongue. This is, I think there's, I can't remember, I think there were 30 scriptures here. There's a lot more than that about our communication. It's so important how we communicate, who we communicate with first, and then how we communicate with one another. So I want us to finish with this. The reason I did another review of this, because when we come to consequences, if we're not practicing these things and we're not growing in these areas, we are going to reap from what we're doing. And that's why I'm talking serious about it. A lot of times I put funny things in there and, you know, a few funny things here and there. I'm talking serious now about it because we will reap from what we're doing. And so we have to learn to grow in these areas and to communicate properly and to study these scriptures. I want you to study these scriptures. And like I said, I was going to have a game, but I don't know. My little guy didn't show up on my slides. So anyway, study the scriptures. Read them. Apply them. Study together, husband and wife. Read them to your children. My kids are little. Read them to Jansen and Alan. Read them to baby Joe. She knows your voice. She may not understand all the words yet, but she will sense your tone. She'll feel the peace. It's important. And studying together and communicating the good things and bringing every thought into captivity and obedience. And so as I finish this up, I'm going to have Sister Lindsay come to the panel. We're going to pray here in just a minute. Does anybody have any questions or comments or some insight into this? Has the teaching on communication helped you in any way? Have you thought about it? Is it changing the way you communicate with other people, the way you talk to people, the way you present yourself? Is it causing us to think more carefully about what we say and do? That's the whole intent of it. And knowing that you are destined to be what God's called you to be, but it takes a series of good choices to get there. And so that's what this has been about, and I appreciate everybody focusing and staying attentive and think about this. So next month we will be finishing up on the consequences, and it's not all like negative consequences. It's going to be, there's some very, very positive consequences that come out of good choices in these areas. And so there's healing, and there's lots of different things that can come forward with this. And so let's begin to focus on this. Take your handouts home. Review them together when you get time. I guess my biggest takeaway for you tonight is take this away. Shut out the other voices. Listen to his voice. Let him lead us. And think before you speak. Meditate. Meditate before we speak on what we say and how we say it. And so, Sister Lindsay, if you could come, and I know we're going to have some time. Did you have something else, Pastor, you wanted us to say before we pray?
Amen. Before we come around these altars to pray tonight, thank you, Sister Pepper, for recapping communication with us. If we're honest, most of us probably had forgotten most of it. There's certain parts we did remember, but then there was other parts, oh, I remember that now. And so that's why just reviewing and continually going over it, and she might use the word repetition. A lot of times we think repetition's a bad thing. But I got news for you, repetition's a good thing. that's just one of, you know, the things, you know, I tell my students. I said, you know, I like this, the new ways of teaching math, but, you know, when I was in school, when my teacher taught me a new concept, we did about 30 or 50 problems of that concept. And by the time I was done with 30 or 50 of them, I remembered exactly how to do it. So repetition's a good thing. And, you know, repetition, you know, a lot of times we think, well, now we just preach the same old, same old, same old. And I've told you this before as a pastor. The reason we're preaching it again is you didn't get it the first time. And so we're going to preach it again. And sooner or later, we'll all get a hold of it, you know. If it's not for you, don't put it on. But if the shoe fits, put it on. Amen. You know, if God's speaking to your heart, his voice. But I want to do is I want to take up any prayer requests before we come around the altars. I'm not going to preach.